Manyamana.
Realizing.
Dham.
This.
This.
Vishwam.
Vishwam.
Universe.
Universe.
Maya.
Maya.
By the external energy.
By the external energy.
Rakshitam.
Rakshitam.
Manufactured.
Manufactured.
Atmani.
Atmani.
Unto the living entity.
Unto the living entity.
Avidya.
Avidya.
By illusion.
By illusion.
Rakshita.
Rakshita.
Manufactured.
Manufactured.
Swapna.
Swapna.
A dream.
A dream.
Gandharva Nagara.
Gandharva Nagara.
Phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria.
Upamam.
Upamam.
Like.
Like.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Dhruva Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is a creation of the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord. Translation responsibly. Srila Dhruva Maharaj realized.
Srila Dhruva Maharaj realizes
that this cosmic manifestation.
That this cosmic manifestation.
Bewilders living entities.
Bewilders living entities.
Like a dream.
Like a dream.
Or phantasmagoria.
Or phantasmagoria.
Because it is a creation of the illusory external energy.
Because it is a creation of the illusory external energy.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Of the Supreme Lord.
In the deep forest, it sometimes appears that there are big palaces and nice cities. That is technically called a Gandharva Nagara. Similarly, in dreams also we create many false things out of imagination. A self-realized person or a devotee knows well that this material cosmic manifestation is a temporary, illusory representation appearing to be truth. It is like a phantasmagoria. But behind the shadow of creation, there is reality, the spiritual world. A devotee is interested in the spiritual world, not its shadow. Since he has realization of the Supreme Truth, a devotee is not interested in this temporary shadow of truth. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartite. Amigyan, Tadadam Dasya, Genam Jina, Shalakaya, Chakshura Militam Jena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it states here in this chapter that Dhruva Maharaj ruled the earth for how long? 36,000 years as the ruler of the earth. This shows the lifetime, the extent that people would live for previously. In Kali Yuga, if you can live 100 years, you're considered old. But previously, they could live for 100,000 years. So for 36,000 years, then he ruled the earth as the ruler. So this is back in Satya Yuga. This is a long time ago. So it describes here that Dhruva Maharaj, he became self-realized. After 36,000 years, as the king, he became detached. The basic premise of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Vedas, is that we do not belong in this world. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures over the years, what is the line or the lesson or the statement that Prabhupada probably made more than any other while he was preaching? When Prabhupada preached, what would he say probably more than anything else? Yeah, very good. That was basically Prabhupada's message. More than anything else, I think Prabhupada said, you are not the body. So he was giving us this understanding that this is false. This world is false. We don't belong here. According to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, we were originally with Krishna in the spiritual world. And then, at some point in time, we left the spiritual world. Why would we leave the spiritual world? Why did we leave? Why would you leave Krishna's service? Would you leave Krishna's service now? So why did we leave Krishna's service? In the spiritual world. Right? This is very strange, that we would leave the service of Krishna. But somehow we did. We misused our independence and we came to the material world. So now in the material world, we have to understand the material world is false. Theoretically we understand that. We have a theoretical understanding this material world is false, but now we have to realize it. That's the difference between jnana and vijnana. Jnana means knowledge. Vijnana means realization, wisdom. That you understand that this material world is false. And that you don't try to enjoy this material world separate from Krishna. But in the material world, everyone is trying to enjoy it separate from Krishna. That's why everyone is in the material world, because they want to enjoy everything separate from Krishna. And as long as you enjoy everything separate from Krishna, Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you are stena. Stena means thief. You're a thief. If you try to enjoy everything in this world which belongs to Krishna separate from him, then you're a thief. And if you're a thief, then you must be punished. You have to be punished because you're not acting according to the laws of nature. The laws of nature is that everything must be used for Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Welcome, Brahmacharis. You start to come. So many of you down there, we don't see you. Nice that you come for the Bhagavatam class. So, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Yukta Vairagya means we are meant to use everything in this material world in the service of Krishna. We're not meant to use it for our enjoyment. If you use it for our enjoyment, then Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, then you are stena. Stena means you are a thief. So therefore, everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. And if you use everything in Krishna's service, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, then he says, everything, he says that the material world is as good as the spiritual world. He says there is nothing lacking in the material world except for Krishna consciousness. When we use everything in Krishna's service, then the material world becomes spiritualized. Because everything is Krishna's energy. Everything is God's energy. And then when that energy is used in Krishna's service, then it becomes spiritualized. And then we become liberated. So, we are in the material world. But the nature of the material world is that it is designed that we become detached from it. And you'll see that Dhruva Maharaj spent 36,000 years as the emperor. And what was the result? He became detached. Because that's the nature of the material world. You cannot enjoy here. Enjoyment is an illusion. That is the definition of the word maya. Maya means that which is not. So what is the illusion of this material world? We think we can enjoy, but actually we cannot. We think the material world is a place of happiness, but actually it is a place of suffering. It's suffering. Hands up if you are enjoying here in the material world. There's some enjoyment, but it is always mixed with suffering. In this material world, we are always suffering. That's the nature. So it is maya, isn't it? So it breeds detachment. For a devotee, when a devotee becomes serious to leave the material world, the material energy will assist the devotee. Because the material energy is a devotee herself, Durga. She is a devotee. Just like if you read in the Navadvipdharma Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda, there's a conversation between Yogamaya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you go to Simantadvipa, have you been to Mayapur?
Yes.
You know the Jagannath Temple? Jagannath Temple. And then you know there is the temple of Simanti Devi, who is Yogamaya. So if you go to that place, that's where this pastime is taking place. Very powerful place. So Simanti Devi, Yogamaya, means Durga, means the consort of Lord Shiva. So Parvati, Durga. So she is there. What was that? Some special ecstasy. So Parvati, she was there, and she was feeling very dejected because her service is to keep all of us in the material world. Imagine if that is your service. Your service is to keep all the devotees away from Krishna. That's a difficult service. You have to stand at the front gate of the temple when everyone walks in and say, hey, go home. The temple is not closed today. We did not cook any prasadam. The doors are shut, the deities are shut. And the whole temple has been considered to be quarantined. Don't come. Everyone leave. No one would do that. It's a very difficult service, keeping everyone away from Krishna. The nature of a devotee wants to bring everyone to Krishna. As devotees, we want everyone to come to Krishna, not to be taken away from Krishna. So her service is to keep all of us away from Krishna. So she was speaking to Lord Chaitanya, and she said, this is very difficult service. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, it is a difficult service, but in the spiritual world, in your other form, your original form, you are Yogamaya, and your service is to facilitate bringing everyone closer to Krishna. So when she heard that, then she became pacified. And he said, now you do the service for me in this material world. You have to keep everyone away. So that is the nature of the material energy. It's meant to test us. But when you want to surrender to Krishna, the material energy then assists you to come closer to Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Daivi Hesha, Gunamaya, Mama Maya, Dhirachaya. Dhirachaya means
difficult.
Anything which is the word Dura, what does the word Dura mean? How would we define that Sanskrit?
Inauspicious sometimes.
Yeah, something like inauspicious or difficult or something like that. Endure. Duryodhana. or dulaba, or all these different words which are there. Yeah. So then it is said, Mamamaya Durakcha, difficult, Durga, difficult. So it is meant to make your life difficult. Actually, Durga, the word can mean prison house, prison. Because Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, she is meant to keep us in this world, make it very difficult for us. And you see Durga, she rides on a
lion,
or sometimes on the tiger, lion or something. Sometimes lion, sometimes not. So someone is riding on a lion or a tiger, what does that mean? What does the lion or a tiger, what do they represent?
Power.
Danger.
Power?
Danger.
Danger? Yeah. Victory. Victory. The lion and tiger, they represent victory. Right? See, we have the lions. Victory. So, she rides on the lion or tiger because she will be victorious. She wants to keep us in Maya. That's not hard. Hands up if you are in Maya. We're all in Maya. Do you want to be in Maya? No, but she keeps us in Maya. And it's not even difficult for her to keep us in Maya. She keeps all of us in Maya. Just like one time, Giriraj Swami was walking on the beach with Prabhupada, I think in Juhu. And he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I got into Maya. And Prabhupada put his cane into the sand. Prabhupada said, you are always in Maya. And Prabhupada just walked off. And Giriraj Swami was so shaken. He was Brahmacharya at that time. So shaken. He just offered obeisance to Prabhupada and then ran after Prabhupada. We are always in Maya. That's all we know. We just know Maya. Because we identify with the body. That is Maya. Illusion. Sabo Padi Vinima. Taparatrina Nima. We are not Nima. We are identifying with the Upadi. The bodily identification. That is illusion. That is Maya. So, Durga, she rides on the line. And then she has a weapon. What is her weapon?
Trident.
But the spear, and it has three prongs. So, what does that represent? The three gunas. Goodness, passion, ignorance. That's how she keeps us all in this world. Goodness, passion, ignorance. We are conquered. Affected by the modes of material nature. Heavily affected. Then, past, present, future, time keeps us all bound in this world. Caught in time. All of us are trapped by time. And then, klesha. Adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi daivik, klesha. All this suffering. That's how she keeps us in this world. So she is victorious. She wants to make you sleep. She is very powerful. Actually, there is one pastime somewhere in the Puranas that Nidra Devi. Nidra means sleep. She came to the Lord and she said, I cannot affect your devotees. I cannot affect your devotees. You have to give me some opportunity to affect them. The Lord said, okay, in Bhagavatam class. Sometimes devotees, they have sleep problems, right? So what is the cure for the sleep? Om namo bhagavate vasudeva. Everyone. Even over the years I've given class, sometimes the devotee is looking straight at you while you are giving class, and the devotee goes, okay. So in the class, you have to stay awake in class. You cannot sleep in the Bhagavatam class. You can't sleep in any service. Chant a japa. You know, sometimes you sit the very well. The devotee's laying on the wall. He's been chanting the same round for half an hour. if you need to sleep, just go and take a rest. Sometimes I'm giving class and I see the devotee is lying down, I say, just go and take a rest. If you're tired, then you sleep. No, but if you're in class, do not sleep. No. If you're chanting japa, do not sleep. Now, if you're doing service, don't sleep. Sleep is separate. Sleep is service. No. You go and sleep, you take rest, right? Refresh yourself, then come and serve Krishna. Balance your life, right? So you get enough sleep in Krishna, so you can stay awake in the Bhagavad class. Right? So, Durga, she is keeping us all under her control. Keeps everyone in this material world covered in the material world. So that is the nature of this material world. It is meant to make you detached. But when you want to get out of the clutches of the material energy, then she will assist you. She's keeping us in the material world. But when you want to leave the material world, then she will make arrangements that you can transcend. But first she will test you. She'll say, do you really want to leave the material world? And what is the answer? Do we really want to leave the material world? You really want to go back to Krishna? You really want to go back to Krishna? Okay, you too want to go back to Krishna. Good. So when you want to go back to Krishna, which all of us do, we wouldn't be sitting here now. If we didn't want to go back to Krishna, we wouldn't be sitting here. But when we say we want to go back to Krishna, then she will test us. How much do you want to go back to Krishna? And what do we say? We always say, I fully want to go back to Krishna. And then she says, really? We say, yes, really. And then she says, okay, what about this? Right, what about this form of mind? Do you want this? And you say, well, actually, yes, I do. He says, okay, get this out of your system. So when all of these things, you don't want them anymore, then you can go back to Krishna. And even when you leave your body and you're going back to Krishna, you have to pass back through all the coverings of the universe again. So you have to go back through the earth, right? And then after the earth, through the water, and then the fire, and then the air, and then the ether, and then through the mind, through the intelligence, and through the ego. And which covering is the biggest?
False ego.
False ego. How big is the earth? How big is the universe? 311 trillion yojanas. I think that's what it says, something like that. So that's, huge. Our universe is huge. But then the earth is 10 times bigger than all of the universe. 10 times. And then the water is 10 times bigger. Right? And then the fire is 10 times bigger. Kalma Prabhu, he calculated it one time. So he said if the universe is like 1 inch, then all the coverings, once you've multiplied it, something like 2,000 kilometers or something. So something like that, that's the universe we're in, and 2,000 kilometers, that's the covering. So when you go through, you have to, when you leave this world, you have to go back through. And as you travel back through, as you go back through the earth, then you get the which element, which sense does the earth relate to? Fragrance. Fragrance. So you smell all the fragrances as you're going back. And then you have to decide, do you want to stay in the material world and enjoy those fragrances, or do you want to go to Krishna? So you go back through the earth. And then next is water. And what comes from water?
Taste.
And that's the most difficult. Right? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all the senses, the tongue is hardest to control. Sharira vijija, jodendriya teika, jiva, vishaya sabe. The desire to enjoy the tongue, that is the most of it. So then you're going back through the water. Do you want to go back to Krishna or do you want to stay in Mathura world? What can you enjoy with your tongue? Are you ready to renounce pizza? Ice cream? Yeah? Gulab jamun? Yeah, it's okay. Shrikant? It's okay. So you have to go back. All these things. Are you willing to give them up? Right? If you're willing to give them up, yeah, okay, now you can keep going. Then fire. What do you get from fire?
Form.
Now he'll show you all the forms. Are you detached? What about this form? What about that form? Everyone. Can you become detached from that form? And then you have to go back through air. And then when air you go through? Yeah, you get the
touch.
Touch. All the sensations of touch. It's called in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls it Sparsha Bhoga. Now what does Sparsha Bhoga mean? Sense of touch. And the enjoyment you get from touching. That's very difficult to give up. The whole world is attached to sex life. Why? Because the man likes to touch the woman. The woman likes to be touched by the man. That binds everyone in this world. So you go through, are you willing to give that up? Then, ether. What is the ether?
Sound.
The sound. Okay. Are you willing to give up the sound? What is the sound we like the most? Lord Chaitanya says, Na danam, na janam, na sundarim kavitam. Sundarim kavitam. Lord Chaitanya says, you have to be willing to give up the sweet words, kavita. Kavita means the sweet words of sundarim, of the opposite sex. You go through and you hear all of that. The opposite sex says, no, stay here in the mature world, come back. I will look after you. Don't worry. And then, will you renounce that and go to Krishna, or will you stay? It's difficult. Getting out of the material is not easy. You'll be tested. You have to be very serious to get out of this. And then you have to go through the mind. And then what does the mind mean? Everything. Mind is full. Everything. Imagine you have to deal with the whole mind, all the mind, the whole element. Get through it. And the mind saying, no, do this, do that. Accept, reject, think, fear, will. You have to go through that. And once you get through that, then, buddhi, intelligence. Prabhupada says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, intelligence is the capital of lust. Prabhupada says in the third chapter. Intelligence is the... So now you have to get through the intelligence, lusty intelligence. Intelligence, you want to enjoy, intelligence says how to enjoy. Makes all the arrangements for you to enjoy. Now you have to get through that. And then finally you have to get through? Ahankar. So ahankar, as you're going through, ahankar means false ego. Oh, I could be this, I could be that, I could be like that, so it goes through. No, stay in the material world. You could be a tiger. Ends up you enjoy being a tiger. Actually, it's a good feeling to be a tiger. Because, you know, you can do whatever you want. Does anyone argue with you? Oh, there's no opposition. Everyone just listens to you. Whatever you say, you can take whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. Or you become an eagle. Yesterday I was at the farm watching the eagles flying around. And then what do you think in your mind when you see the eagles? Oh, that's cool. I'd love to be an eagle, just float around, do whatever I want. Who's going to challenge me in the air? So that's how we think. So as you go through false ego, you have to see all the upadis. Or you can become a bear and sleep 6 months a year. The bear can sleep as much as it wants. I like to sleep. False ego, here, I have the body. So you have to pass through all of that to get back to Krishna. It's not so easy. And then once you get through all the coverings, then where do you have to pass through? All the coverings of the material universe, and then there's Vaikuntha, what's in between? Brahma Jyoti, what do we call it? In the Bhagavatam, it's called the river?
Viraja.
Or in the in the Brahma Samhita, Viraja. It means the effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence coming from Vaikuntha. Now you have to go through that. Prabhupada says that is the last snare of Maya. Now you can be God. You can just merge into the Brahma Jyoti and just exist with no anxiety whatsoever. Does it sound appealing? Sounds pretty good to me. I can just go there, I can just be, I don't have to do anything. No one's going to come and ask me to wash the pots or, you know, do anything, clean the toilets or, you know, count the books in the book room. Or, you can just be. And you can just experience eternality, no anxiety. That sounds pretty good. So you have to go through that. Do you want to be God or do you want to serve God? So the only way we can get back to Krishna, pass through all of these things, and pass through the Brahma Jyoti, is when your desire to serve Krishna is stronger than anything else. That is the only way you can get back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada describes this. Krishna describes it in the Prabhupada comments. Vyavasi yatmika buddhi. Ekeha kurunandana. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vijayabhushan, they wrote commentaries on all these verses. And when Prabhupada read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said it struck him. That's Prabhupada. But when he read that commentary, it struck him. He said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in the commentary on that verse in the second chapter of the Gita, he says, in life or death, waking or sleeping, dreaming, any state of consciousness, my only focus, ekeha, right, is to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. That's what takes us back to the spiritual world. When your desire to fulfill the order of your guru, right, is stronger than any other desire in your consciousness, that gets you back to Krishna. And that's called Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita Shunya. Shunya means no other desire. Right? So Jiva Goswami, when he comments on Anyabhilashita, he says that to not have desire, that's impossible. You have to have desire. But the desire must be connected to Krishna. Shunya. It's not possible to be shunyavada. You have to have desires, but the desires have to be for Krishna. That's how we get back to the spiritual world. Prabhupada even said one time, we have to become 70% pure. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That gives me hope. How does that make you feel? It makes us feel good, actually. Imagine if Prabhupada was just saying 100%, only 100%. I'd just think, oh, no. I might as well go and join the Buddhist temple over there. Or Sahara, that's something. Or, go up to Mount Bull and go skiing. Because, I can't become a pure devotee. That's intimidating for me to think like that. When I was a new devotee, I remember I joined the ashram. First couple of months I was living there. And, you start advancing in Krishna consciousness, you start getting realization, you start getting a taste. And then I thought, wow, the way I'm going, I'm going to be a pure devotee in 2 years. I actually thought that. I remember thinking, wow, it's like, and now 30 years later, I'm just thinking, when am I going to become a pure devotee? And now I'm thinking, I can't become a pure devotee from my own endeavor. I can't become a pure devotee. I mean, of course I can, but I'm finding it realistically very difficult. But when Prabhupada says, 70%, I think, maybe I can attain that. If I try really hard, I can attain that. And then Prabhupada says, if you get to 70%, Lord Chaitanya will cover everything you're lacking and will take you back to the spiritual world. So that gives me hope. So otherwise this material world it's a difficult place. This material world is not easy to overcome. But Dhruva Maharaj, he spent 36,000 years in the Grihastha Ashram. If you're on the greenhouse ashram for 36,000 years and you're not detached, something is seriously wrong with you. You know, you seriously need to look at your life. You, if you've been married and had kids, right, and had to rule a kingdom, in other words, work, for 36, and if you're not detached at the end of that, you know, there's something wrong with you. So then, Dhruva Maharaj, at the end of 30, he said, okay, enough. And he went to the forest, and he just fully meditated on Krishna. So we don't need 36,000 years in Kali Yuga. We just need 36 years. That's enough. 36 years of kids and marriage and working and everything. You should be detached. And if you're not, we will pray for you. A devotee should be feeling detached, especially grihasthas. Grihastha ashram is meant for detachment. That's what it's meant for. If you don't understand what grihastha ashram is meant for, you don't become Krishna conscious. Grihastha ashram is meant for detachment. It's not meant for enjoyment. It's a license for sense gratification. You can have some sense gratification. So you have your sense gratification, and then what happens? You want your money back. Now you go to the shop, you buy something, you go home, you open it up, it doesn't work. So you want your money back. So you get a license for sense gratification, you become a grihastha. You enjoy your sense gratification, and then after a few years you think, actually this is not working, I'm not happy. I should start reading the Bhagavad Gita. So you go and you get the Bhagavad Gita, and then you get the Bhagavatam. You know, when you're a brahmacharya, you're on the seventh canto, and then you're grihastha, you haven't read for 7 years, and then you have to go back, pick up from the seventh canto where you left off, and then start reading. I see grihasthas, they do like that. Then they get serious. So that's what the material world is for. So here in the Bhagavatam, we understand this. There are three types of intelligence: first class, second class, and third class. What is third class? Third class intelligence. You do something stupid and you don't learn your lesson, you keep doing it. Second class is you do something stupid, you learn your lesson, and then you behave properly. First class is you just read the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, don't do anything stupid. You say, acha, kike. And then you act properly. That's first class. So it's all here. If we read the Bhagavatam and act properly, we won't fall into mind. And even as a grihastha, even if you have to get married, and you have to go into material life, but if you're reading the Bhagavatam daily, your consciousness does not become bewildered by the material energy. That's the point. You have to hear the Bhagavatam regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatam says, you have to hear every day. That is a beautiful thing. Right now, there's so many devotees deep within the well of Maya, suffering at the hands of the material energy in their grihastha ashram. Good morning, Hare Krishna, Prabhus and Manajis. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Say Hare Bol if you're enjoying yourself. Okay, we can't hear you because you're a little far away, but Hare Krishna. So they're there, but what are they doing? They're listening to the Bhagavatam. Many devotees, they tell me, oh, we heard class this morning. That's the system. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Then you don't become bewildered by the material. Otherwise, you become bewildered. You have to hear every day. Brahmacharis have to hear every day. And brahmacharinis. Oh my God. I come here all the way, drive 150 kilometers to give class. One brahmachari comes. What is that? I don't know what that is. There must be 80 brahmacharis down there in that ashram. One guy. Lucky you came. Don't tell us in my class. So this is the system. The system is you have to hear. If you hear, you won't get bewildered. It doesn't matter which ashram. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. You have to hear the Bhagavatam. regularly. One time I was in Mayapur. Went to Mayapur. And in Mayapur I take rest at 8:30 at night. So I took rest. And then 8:45, the phone rings in my room. So I pick up my good friend, Atul Krishna Prabhu. You know Atul Krishna Prabhu. So you ring. He's on the phone. Hey, I'm half asleep. Right? I go, can you give class tomorrow morning? Yeah, no problem. Hang up the phone. Wake up in the morning. Oh my God. I have to give class. I'm in Mayapur. I have to give class. Different to Melbourne. Melbourne just like, you know, give class. Mayapur, you know. So I go walk in there, Mayapur, sit on the Vyasa. Not many devotees there. I think, oh, good. Not many devotees. I don't have to be angry. I just give them. Close my eyes, chant Jai Radha Madhava. 3 minutes. Didn't open my eyes. And then finish. Open my eyes. 100 devotees. Right. Hanumat Prasheek Swami. Sitting like with his camera. Sitting there with his dunda. Open my eyes. Just sitting there with his dunda. Just looking at me. And I just thought, oh my God. Right. Janadivas Prabhu Pankajangri Ramayam. Shiksha groups sitting there, you know, all these devotees, you know, senior, like, everything like that. And I just think, oh my God. I say, I'm a pretender. I'm a pretender. And then I have to give class and all these, you know, great souls. So anyway, I apologize at the start. I said, you know, please forgive me. Somehow I'm sitting here, but, you know, I have to speak. And then Krishna helped me, and then class was over. There was no problem. And at the end of the class, Hanuman Prasheek Swami was there, and the whole class was about sex desire. It was in Canto 3 with Devahuti and Kashyapa. Kashyapa. So then they're flying around on the aeroplane. Right? So all about sex desire, that part of it. So I just had a whole class about sex desire. Right? And Hanuman Prasheek Swami is there. He had his eyes closed, and he's just smiling the whole time. You know, I'm saying sex desire is what keeps him doing. He just, you know, he was relishing like that. And I was smiling also because I was the only one who could see his face. He was, you know, he's just smiling the whole time. So then, you know, at the end, I say, any questions or comments? So Maharaj put his hand up, make a comment, and he said, if you want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, you have to go to Mangalati every day and hear the Bhagavatam every day. And that's what Maharaj was doing. You know, he was there. He wasn't thinking, oh, you know, who's this guy speaking? No, he came to hear the Bhagavatam. And he's teaching us as a sannyasi. It doesn't matter, you're brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. You have to hear the Bhagavatam every day. That's how the heart becomes pure. Otherwise you won't go back to God. Yeah, that's the system. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments while we discuss. Any other questions or comments?
We are so like, okay, we just need to keep chanting and hopefully just we remember in the mantra at the end of the day. But when we need like that explanation, like how many layers we have to go through and like how thick everybody is and like, so how not to get affected by thinking of that, okay, just
So what's the question?
How to make sure that, okay, that information is useful and we need to know that in order to know where we are and but like how not to get used in the like so much information.
Just chant your rounds attentively, that's all. You know, when I'm chanting my rounds, I'm not thinking, okay, I have to go through earth, I have to go through water, now fire. You don't think like that, you just chant. As we said, the way to get through all of that is that you're just focused on the order of your guru. What's the order of your guru? Serve Krishna. So when you're chanting, what is the definition of the Maha Mantra? O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So that's the move. So you meditate on that, and that will carry you through all the different ways. That's all. You don't have to think about it. No.
No.
No. Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna. No, of course there's hope. If there's not hope, then why are we here?
I don't know.
But I already said that in the lecture. I already said, I sometimes feel like that. Or what is the hope? How can I get back to Krishna? But then Prabhupada said, you only have to get 70%. That makes me feel hopeful. Does it make you feel hopeful? A little bit?
No, no.
Do you feel a little bit hopeful?
No.
Or do you feel nothing?
No, after I heard from you what we have to go through, and I saw there's so many
things. Do you have any hope or not? That's the question I'm asking.
Before there wasn't any hope, now...
Before you came... So for everyone who's listening at home, right, Mataji is saying that before she came to my class, she had hope in Krishna consciousness. Now she has no hope.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm joking with you.
Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna. No, the point, okay, yeah, it makes us feel like that. So I gave class like that to make us understand how small we are. We are anu. Anu means very small. Is there hope? I already said before. I explained there is.
Yes, but I have to go through it many times to get the hope again.
Yeah, so understand, the material world is difficult to get out of. If we're very serious, we can get out of it. That's it. That's the essence.
Because any time I listen to Srimad Bhagavatam and I learn something which I didn't know before,
if you're humble, you will make advancement. Right? Any devotee, if they're humble, they make advancement. If we're very humble, we just think, Krishna, I'm very fallen, this is very difficult. Keshava just wrecked my life because he gave this class. You know, like that. But if we think very sincerely, I just want to serve Prabhupada, my guru, Krishna, easily you go. Krishna says, Mam evige prapajante, mayam
etam taranti.
Etam
taranti.
Taranti. Krishna says, it is very difficult. Mama maya durachaya. But if you surrender to me, easily you can cross. And Prabhupada says in the purport, he quotes the Bhagavatam, the material world is like an ocean. Very difficult to cross. Try and swim from here to Tasmania. Go and buy yourself some bathers after class and jump in the water and swim to Tasmania and see how it feels. Right? It's big. But that whole fast straight, it becomes a problem. As big as the calf hoof print, that big. And easily you can go across if Krishna helps you. If you are sincere. Hare Krishna. Sorry for wrecking your life. Thank you for coming to the temple. We're here to wreck everyone's life. One bhakta, he came here 25 years ago. I was brahmachari, I was chanting. He came, his friend of mine, his name is Christian Wild. Nice to meet you. And he came here, and then first time I met him. And then I was chanting japa in the morning and he walked in and then I came over and I spoke to him once. And he said, I feel like there's something in my heart. You want to tell me something? You want to tell me? And I said, you will never be happy in the material world. He just looked at me like... but that's the fact. The fact is, first you have to be detached from this world, then you can go back to the spiritual world. If you have optimism that you can be happy in this material world and live here forever, then you are in Maya. Prabhupada said you have to have healthy pessimism. Pessimism means that you can't enjoy the material world. But healthy pessimism means, okay, you can't enjoy here, but we can go back to Krishna. So the alternative is there, no problem. And even if we have to take birth again, if you take birth in ISKCON, is it bad? It's pretty good, right? No, you get free food, they give you free house, what's the problem? It's okay. If you have to be in the mature world, you might as well be in ISKCON. The prasadam is good. Yeah. On Sundays, the grihasthas invite you to their house and you have dosha. I know what you guys do. I know what you guys do. You act like you saffron or like detached and everything. You go down and have dosha. So, I know. Lots of chutney and everything. I know. All these things I know. So many things I know. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Yes, sir.
Sometimes something goes wrong, most of the time goes wrong, the faith gets shaking. But then you're like, okay, somebody told you, keep following this process, and you're following that, but there is no interest at all. It's like, okay, it's more of like scary. If I don't follow that, I might fall again. You know, there is a fear. So, and you start like, personally, I know like, okay, I'm just going to do inattentive chanting, like, if I get rebellious.
Yeah, but what is the point? You have to ask yourself, right? Spend some time reflecting. Svajaya means reflecting, self-reflection. What's the point of chant? Ask yourself, what's the point of chanting inattentively? What's the point? Okay, you can do it one day, but if you're going to do it for the whole week, then what's the point? Now, if your life is inattentive, what's the point? You will leave, right? Or you will become weak. So get a taste for chanting. You say, oh, Prabhuji, how can I get a taste for chanting? Oh, I'm so fallen, how can I get a taste? Oh, my mind is... Get a taste for chanting. Are you serious or not? If you want a taste, go in Harinam Chintamani. Haridas Thakur says, if you want a taste for chanting, go and chant with devotees who have a taste, who are fixed up in their chanting. And by their association, you will get that taste. Just like on Janmashtami, right? You can't even get into the temple of Mangalati. It's like, you know, I don't know what happens, but like the whole, you know, everyone comes. So everyone comes to Dhammasana. And then we all chant Japanese. And I always look around and I see all the devotees. There's so many sincere devotees. So you look at the ones who are chanting very nicely, right? And then you think, I want to get their association. And then on a regular basis, you say, Prabhu, can I come and chant with you regularly so I can get some fixed up with my chant? And then you will also become fixed up with your chanting. And then one day you'll be chanting, and then you open your eyes, you'll see Krishna standing in front of you, spiritual. Krishna will say, come back home, back to God. Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, always chanting. It's okay?
You said, you know, getting to grasp the life is like to be detached.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife I said that.
Okay, if you're already detached, being not to be in grihastha life, and you don't want to choose that, why do you even get started? Like, you obviously...
You don't get started. You don't. If you don't have the desire to become a grihastha, you don't become a grihastha.
And then you don't have a desire to be in brahmacharya ashram either.
Then you're crazy. I don't have a desire to get married, but I don't want to be in the brahmacharya ashram. What are you? If you don't have a desire to get married, then get serious. Become a brahmachari or a brahmacharini and just focus on serving Krishna. Right? I was brahmachari for 8 years. They were the best years of my life in many ways. I had nothing else to do, just serve Krishna all the time. Right? So if you don't have a desire to get married, then get fully absorbed. Right? Take sannyas. Right? If you have no desire to get married, take sannyas, travel around the world and help everyone else become Krishna conscious. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. Why waste your time? Make up your mind. Yeah. Get in one boat or get in one boat. It's up to you. Both boats are okay. You can both go back to Godhead. Grihastha ashram goes back to Godhead. Brahmachari ashram goes back to Godhead. Right? Vanaprastha sannyas, they all go back to Godhead. There's no problem. Bhagavatam doesn't say you have to be one or the other. But it says you have to be serious in whichever one you're in. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Be intense in the devotion.
Okay. Any other question, comment? Anything else?
Yeah, Prabhu Maharishi.
I was trying to understand more about the value of devotional service, because with all this presentation of how difficult it is to overcome Maya, those layers. But we have also an opportunity to be in Krishna consciousness, the process itself, without qualification, but they have the same advantage to cross all these levels at once. It's just be focused on what we have to do.
Yeah.
But basically that is an appreciation of how the fortune that we have in this kind of commission is like a big event.
Yeah, we said in the class that just focus on your service to your guru. That will take you through the material energy easily.
But at the same time, as I say, you would be foolish not to take advantage of that. So I'm doing that. I'm not taking advantage of that.
Yeah, so if you're not taking advantage, that's your problem. It's no one else's problem. It's your problem. That means you're crazy.
Yeah.
Right. If you got the opportunity to serve Krishna and you don't serve Krishna, that means you're crazy. That's all. So you can't blame anyone else. Oh, I can't serve Krishna. No, just serve Krishna. That's it. Yeah, there's only one option in life. Serve Krishna. It doesn't matter which ashram or vana or anything you're in, which country you're in, serve Krishna. You say, well, I've got problems. I've got problems everywhere. I've got problems. I've got problems in my life. But every day I get up, I serve Krishna. That's my main focus. All of us should be loved. Any other question? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll be a sir. Yeah. Hari Soya said the reason that he changed ashram is because he stopped reading the books.
Yeah. If you stop reading, you'll become
a book. And now he's fixing up all the old manuals, yeah?
Yeah.
The ancient books, yeah. Some people weren't seated for sannyasi.
Hardly anyone's a sannyasi. There's no sannyasi sitting in here.
Used to be.
Any other questions? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.